Are you ready for the word of the Lord this morning? Okay, how many people know what it means when we have five Sundays in a month? Three amigos. Absolutely. You know, that's one of the things that I so look forward to. It's like I am so blessed by those that have been raised up in this church, even if it's just raised up in 2 or 3 years, that I get to listen to and I get to experience the growth that's taking place in their lives and what God is doing in their lives. How many here tremendously enjoy when we get to experience the three amigos? All right. Well, we're about ready for that to happen. And the first one that I want to introduce to you, a young man that I'm very, very proud of, that he has become an adopted son, not only of the house, but of my house, because it's my son-in-law. This is a young man who has both spiritual and natural maturity way beyond his years. He just had his 29th birthday just recently. And it's like, wow, there are a lot of 40 and 50-year-olds that can look up to this young man. He is steady, steady, steady. He knows who he is in Christ, and he is a humble young man who is willing to learn more and more. Just a joy to be around. And I know you're going to love what he has to say this morning. Let's welcome to the platform, Ryan Brodeen. And you.
All right. Well, I went to business school, and I don't know if they teach you this in ministry school, how to follow up such a wonderful worship time like that, but Matthew came up to me and was like, man, how do we follow it up? And I'm like, I have no idea. But I will just acknowledge that was such a powerful, powerful time. And I'm excited for this morning and what God has put on my heart and the other two guys as well. So, but I just wanted to obviously say good morning. And how many of you guys are enjoying the transition to fall? Yes. Even though yesterday was still quite warm, it's felt like it's kind of been this slow transition. For Christy and I, we've, as many of you know, we have a baby coming in 3 months now, January 1st. Woohoo! And what Christy described, we've entered into the nesting phase, is what she's calling it. So, first time dad, so I didn't know what that means, but now I know it's the time of preparing the nursery, aggressively cleaning the house, all those different things. And so, all that to say, it's a very exciting time for us, and we're super excited for the baby to come and just all that comes with the fall. So, but what I want to share today is something that God put on my heart that really, I think, pertains to where we are as a church body. And I want to start with a couple questions. How many of you in this congregation have been coming to Valley Church for longer than, let's say, 5 years? Let's get a raise of hand. Okay. How many of you have been coming to Valley Church longer than 1 year? Okay. And how many of you have been coming to Valley Church less than 1 year? Or maybe it's your first time. Woohoo! It's exciting. Well, I can see from the raise of hands, and even up at men's retreat last weekend, I looked around the room and I just thought, wow, it's amazing how we have a wide variety of young and old, a variety of people who are new to the congregation, people who have been in the congregation a long time, and all that to say, it's clear that it's a very exciting time to be a part of what God is doing and a part of what God is doing at Valley Church. And I truly say I've been, I guess, a part of the church for a little over 3 years, and it just felt like what God is building and what God is doing here is so, so exciting. And so there's no better time than this to be a part of this church and what is to come. So with that, though, with growth, with new people coming in, with exciting things happening, there's also comes change, right? And change is good, but change can also be sometimes difficult because things that were done a certain way might change, different people step into different roles, and it's good, but it also brings to light different things. And when I married Christy, Pastor Christy, 2.5 years ago, I slowly began the process of becoming aware of how much goes on in a church. What we see on Sunday morning, the worship, the preaching is about, I don't know exact percentage, but probably like 2 or 3% of all that goes into what's happening at a church. So as congregants, we get to come enjoy the worship, enjoy the message, go home and have our lunch, but there's so many things that go on behind the scenes throughout the week, right? And we've been able to serve in a lot of different capacities. Christy oversees the worship. We're overseeing the youth right now, and it's all amazing things, all things we really enjoy, and it's a huge honor to be able to do these things. But we have to, like I was saying, with change, we have to have open arms to say, you know what, Lord? You know, we have a baby coming. We have lots of things going on, and we want to keep doing as much as we can, but we have to remember that our heart posture is always to serve first in whatever capacity that is. So if it means continuing in these capacities, we will do it with all we have. But if it means we have to let go of certain capacities, we have to do it with open heart postures, because our call first is to serve. Our call is not to do one specific thing necessarily. It's to serve. And if we lose sight of that, and if we get our identity so wrapped up in, well, I'm on stage doing this, or I'm playing guitar, or I'm doing that, and we have to let go of those things, it can sometimes create this internal competition, right? And as a church, this is not a space where we're supposed to spiritually compete with each other. It's not a space where it's, oh, my preaching compared to Travis's preaching. No, that's not what it's about. It's not about, oh, my prophetic word versus that prophetic word, right? It's about us all advancing the kingdom of God through the church and edifying him through that. And it's not about an individual agenda or anything like that. And if it is, if it does become that, at least for me personally, then I'll say I need to step back and I need to let go and say, okay, my heart posture is not in the right place. So we want to serve the body in whatever capacity that looks like. I want to read a couple scriptures. The first one is out of Romans 12. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." And I want to read one more scripture here. This is out of 1 Corinthians 12. And it says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." And what I believe God put on my heart to share is, in this season as a church, as we are growing, as new people are coming in, it's all exciting. But we have to remember that there's so many things that go into this church body, and it's not just what happens up here. And I want to go through some of that, because I think it's important that we acknowledge some of these things. So let's say, for example, how many of you, when you come to the church, you enjoy the fact that when you go to the restroom, it's clean, it looks nice, it smells nice? Well, there's a person who's in charge of that. Genevieve, are you in here? Where is she? Is she in here? Oh, there she is. Yes, let's give her another round of applause. And Josh and Gabriella. So the reason why we get to enjoy that is because there's somebody who fills that role of the body, right? And serves in that capacity. So we get to come on Sunday and experience nice restrooms. And we all, I don't need to get into details, but we all have public restroom horror stories. So we don't have to deal with that here. And how about when you walk into the hallway and you see some of the guys with the earpieces in standing in the back? I see a couple of them right now. They make you feel a lot more safe in here, right? It's our security team. And yeah, let's give a round of applause for them. They are an important piece of the body. How about Social Sunday? So Social Sunday is coming next week. How many of you guys are excited for that? Me too. Well, I can tell you from experience, I know a lot of the people that serve on that team. And while we're in our service, they're making the food, and then we get to leave the service. They serve you the food, and then they clean up everything afterwards and leave, and they do it with humble and servant hearts, right? And I can tell you, those people that serve on that team, they are amazing people. They're extremely gifted people. They have so much wisdom and experience for all of us to glean from, yet they still posture their hearts to serve all of us, right? What an example that is. How about the greeting team? Yeah, amazing. So if somebody came into our church and they heard a powerful message and they heard amazing worship, but nobody ever said hi or nobody ever loved on them or nobody ever greeted them, what would be the purpose of what we're doing, right? Because if the church is supposed to be anything, it's supposed to be a place where people encounter God's love. And if we can't do that as a church body or a greeting team alone, then why are we even here? Because that's our greatest call, is to love the Lord our God with our all we have and love our neighbors as ourselves. And I look at this church that we have as well. We're extremely blessed because we have a lot and lot of wisdom in this room, a lot of people who have gone through a lot of different trials and tribulations for us to be here today, for me to even be on this platform right now. And the beautiful part about the elders that we have of this church is that what I've experienced and so many of us have experienced, like I said, like I think Lynn said, I'm 29, so I have a lot to learn. I'm still growing a lot. I'm trying to absorb as much as I can, and I have a lot to learn from the elders of this church. They have a lot of experience to give me, and if you're a young person in this room, I hope you have the same approach, because there is so much for us to learn. But with that, the way that they live this out and what I've experienced is that although maybe the worship looks different than it did 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago, and maybe the message is preached a little bit differently, and maybe people dress a little bit differently, as long as Jesus is at the center of what we're doing, these people are supporting us and they're pouring into us. And that's the reason why we're blessed to have a multi-generational church and a church that isn't stuck in old ways, but is instead saying, you know what? If Jesus is at the center of what we're doing, let's keep pushing forward. And so I just want to honor those people because without them, we wouldn't be here today. And two, just giving some more examples, many of you guys have probably seen at different times, I know I've seen Pastor Rutzen out there fixing sprinklers or fixing the fountain. And you think about that. It's like somebody like him who basically founded the church and has done so many things doesn't have to do those things, but continues to be the body in those different ways, in a way that nobody sees and nobody experiences, and it's modeled from above. So all that to say, in closing, what I just want us to be reminded of is that the church has so many parts, right? You think about a body, the pinky toe. How many know how important the pinky toe actually is, right? If you don't have a pinky toe, it's actually pretty hard to balance your foot, right? And so there's so many roles, so many things that go on in the church. And as we continue to grow and as we continue to experience the move of God, all of you in this room have something to contribute. And some of it might be serving food, or it might be vacuuming the floors, or it might be things where in your mind, well, how is that helping? Well, it's helping in a huge, huge way. And it's not just what happens up here. So let's, as we grow, as we continue to move forward, let's all serve with heart postures of servanthood, and also not having our own agenda in mind, but having Jesus' agenda at the forefront. So I just, I thank you and I bless you all and thank you for this opportunity.
That's great. Proud of that guy. Good word. Good word, yeah. I remember when I first volunteered, thinking a little more highly of myself than I ought. Showed up to volunteer for a couple of weeks with Pastor Rutzen, and with all of my experience in a variety of different things, the first day that I showed up, he had water running down a big old patch of weeds and said, "I want you to start pulling those weeds." And I was like, "What?" And I pulled weeds. Okay, this guy has a beard that everybody just admires. More than just a beard, though. This man is a pillar. He's become a pillar in the church. I look down and I need to see them sitting there because they're such an encouragement just to see their consistency, their willingness, their dedication to God and to the things of God and to the house of God. He's got a powerful word for us. Let's just welcome to the stage, to the platform, to this pulpit, Travis.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Morning, church. Woo! Who here understands the language of the Spirit? So sometimes there's a word that God wants you to hear, and so you gotta hear it twice. Amen? All right, so I'd love to just take a minute to say welcome to our guests. I'm very thankful you're here today. And also to our online family, who's watching on YouTube, we are grateful. I'd like to give a quick shout out to my grandma in Washington. She's always watching on Sundays. So I love her. And she calls me and says, "I saw you on TV." We're gonna be in John chapter 6 today. So as you're turning to it in your Bible, I wanna tell you that we're talking about lunch. And I know that's a bold move because I see the clock. And I realize that it's gonna be a couple more minutes until we get to eat, but believe me, you're about to eat, so just let me cook real quick here, huh? Come on, tribe students, did I get it? No? Did I get it? Let me cook real quick, okay. Okay, John chapter 6, where are we at? So, in your Bible, it's probably labeled Jesus feeds the 5,000. And where we find Jesus is that him and the disciples have just sailed across the Sea of Galilee. And as they're together, Jesus sees a crowd of people coming. He sees a huge crowd of people coming. And in verse 4, we catch up and it says, "Now the Passover feast of the Jews was at hand. Lifting his eyes up then and seeing a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?' He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do." And I want to take just a quick second to recognize how Jesus empowered his disciples. Over and over again, he gave them an opportunity to figure it out themselves. How easy would it have been for Jesus to just say, "I see the problem, I know the solution, go and do what I say," but instead he gives them a chance to think through it, to make messes. Over and over again, Jesus is empowering his disciples. So in verse 7, Philip answered him and said, "200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" What are they for so many? Church, we gotta stop looking at things the way the world looks at them. We got to stop looking at the gifts people have and go, what are they for so many? Because I want to tell you what Jesus did from there. It says, Jesus told them, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. We know there was women and children there, or else how would the men have gotten there? Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted, church, as much as they wanted, 5 loaves and 2 fish became as much as they wanted. And I just believe right now, having been at this church for 3 years, having heard the words brought to us, having heard the prophecies given over this building, that there is a season of growth coming to this church. Come on, there are thousands of people, believe with me for a second, a Sunday morning where thousands of people are lined up to come into this church because they are hungry, and they're hungry for the Lord. And they're hungry for the things they've heard that happen here, the people that get healed here. They're hungry for the people that get free here. They're hungry to find out who are they really? Who are they? And all of a sudden, it's our job to feed them. It's our job to feed them. And I said, where's Patty at? Patty's like, amen, put me in, coach, I can feed them. Patty's fed a lot of us, hasn't she? Her team does a great job. But church, how do we know that they're hungry for something other than food? They're hungry for a spiritual food. They're hungry for something that the world can't give them. They're hungry for something beyond the temporary relief, the temporary joy that they find everywhere else. And church, hear me, what they want, we have in abundance. We have it here in abundance, and it's our job to feed them. So in this story, I see 4 roles. I see a hungry congregation. I see a boy who has a gift. I see disciples who notice and steward that gift, and I see the Lord who multiplies the gift. So I want to take a second. I want to think through, where are we? Some of us might feel like that little boy. Some of us might feel like a child of God who has 5 loaves and 2 fish in our bag. And maybe somebody one time said, your gift is not enough. What is it to so many? But I believe that we have a choice. We can either look at our gift and we can put it down and we can say, what can I even do with this, Lord? I need more. I need more so I can give out. What I have, I actually need. And I see other people and they have enough, they can share. But the reality is that if we stand in generosity with our hand open, with our gift, man, what? Let's see what the Lord can do with the thing that he's given us. Amen? Yeah, because every gift that we have comes from the Father above. And it's a good gift. And it's more than enough. But it's our choice to decide, are we going to be generous with it or not? And I skipped over the part this morning talking about the hungry congregation, because I know I saw this morning a hungry congregation that's here. You guys know what it is like to look for the Lord. Come on, somebody. All right. There's another role. It's the disciple who stewards the gift. And church, hear me, I see leaders in this room who can steward the gifts of God's children. And you might be sitting there thinking, that's not me, I'm not that leader, and yes it is. Because there's been people who've never set foot on this stage who've seen the gold in me that I couldn't see. Amen? There are some of you sitting out there who have been holding on to a gift that I need, that people in this congregation need. There are people in here, I feel so strongly, I heard from the Lord, that there are people in here with hard-fought marriages who have walked through things, and there are other people who need it because they don't have vision for a 5-year marriage, let alone a 40-year marriage. And come on, we celebrate marriage in this house because it's the foundation of what God created for us and for our families. And some of you need to start sharing what God's given you. Amen? Amen. Come on. We're going to walk with God's children until they can see the gold in themselves that we see. We're going to walk with them, and we are going to seek the Lord to see what he needs for this season that we're in, and then we're going to find it in his people. I see it so strongly, church. I see it so strongly. Some of our people only have 5 loaves and 2 fish, and that is exactly what the Lord needs. So I want to continue on, because I believe in the next few verses it shows us the reason why we need to give well and steward well the gifts. Verse 12, it says, when they had eaten their fill, when the people that were hungry were filled, Jesus told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. Church, we're going to be a place where we do not lose the things God has provided for us. We are going to be a church that stewards well every fragment that the Lord provides. And when people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. And so, church, I fully believe that God is preparing us for a season to feed the 5,000. I fully believe that there are people, when I look out into the world, who are seeking something real, they're seeking something true, they're seeking something that's gonna fill them, not just for a moment, not just for the lunch tonight, but for eternity. And church, I believe we are the ones that are going to be empowered by him. He is inviting us into this moment so that we can steward these people well, so that he may be glorified and they may be benefited. Amen. It's not about me. It's not about being on stage. It's not about being off stage. It's about the Lord being glorified and his children being benefited. And so I want to leave you with one more thought. In John chapter 21, Jesus says the same thing to Simon Peter 3 times. He says, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. And church, I don't know about you, but I am ready to feed his sheep. I am ready. I want to see a harvest for the Lord. I'm ready to feed the 5,000. Amen? All right, bless you all.
Wow, another powerful word. That was awesome, Trav. Just one more hand of applause for Travis right there. It's like, wow. You'd think that these two conspired to be talking about it. That's just not the way it works. That's not the way it works. You know, it's like, I don't tell them what to preach. Nobody tells them what to preach except Holy Spirit. And always they line up just like that. So amazing. But, you know, when you go to a restaurant and you go hungry to a restaurant and you say, okay, there'll be about a 30-minute wait. How many people are frustrated by that? Only one. Good news. Only one frustrated by that. Because there's more food. It comes in courses here. There's course one, there's course two. How many are willing to sit for an extra 12 minutes for course three this morning? Good, 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 good. Because this next young man that's coming up here has been a part of this church for probably 10 years or so. And you know, something really interesting, one of the prophetic words that we received yesterday is an affirmation and a confirmation for a question that I asked this young man a couple months ago. And I said to him, you know, as some changes were taking place here, I said, it's Matthew. Tell me, I'm giving you a choice right here. Do you want to be an associate or do you want to be a son of mine? You want to be a spiritual son or do you want to be an associate pastor? And he said, He thought about it for a little bit. He said, well, exactly what does that mean? I said, you know, well, there's a difference in sonship and an associate. And I says, which do you prefer? I'm giving you an option. He said, I want to be a son. So I want to welcome one of my spiritual sons, the someone that goes so deep, you know. Get ready, you know, like hold your nose. You're going to go deep here for a little while. So I want to welcome one of my spiritual sons that I could not be more proud of right now. And what's happening in his life, some of the things that Lord has brought him through, continues to bring him through, and the depth of spirituality that he now walks in is just incredible. Let's welcome to the platform Pastor Matthew Forsythe.
Thank you.
Whatever you got.
Okay.
They're already prepared to wait.
They are prepared. Wow. Here we go. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? That was the old Verizon guy. Remember, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I'm actually going to be talking a little bit about Verizon today. Man, what a powerful morning. Wow. You know, this morning when I woke up, usually I kind of review my notes, and the Holy Spirit's like, I want you just to soak in my presence for an hour, and I think I know why now. Wow, that was such a powerful time. Well, just to recap what God's doing, because I love education, and I believe God is the ultimate teacher. He doesn't do things in fragments. He does things in continuity, right? So Ryan was speaking on change is coming. Change is happening right here at Valley Church. Can I get an amen to that? Change is good change is happening, right? And we got to get ready for different. And I love what he said. It's like whether he's on the worship team right now and then next week he's greeting people, or if God changes our roles, we're all servants. That's an identity. I'm a servant, a willing servant of God, right? And I love what he said. He said, advancing the kingdom of God is the ultimate purpose. We're all on board for that, amen? I want that. I don't care what it looks like. Throw me in, coach. Put me anywhere. And then Travis just talked about feeding the multitudes, and the abundance is coming. The people are coming. Like, already God has brought many of you in this last year, but many, many, many more are coming. And are we willing to not hold back and offer what we have, like the boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish? Come on, right? Well, I don't preach like that person. I don't teach like that person. I don't have their prophetic gift. Do we hold back? Or do we give what we have, right, for the growth that's coming? And I felt, it's just so awesome because we didn't talk, but I felt like what I'm going to be speaking may speak to you individually, but at the same time, I'm speaking to the whole church. This is where I feel like we're at as a whole congregation. So it's just so awesome how Holy Spirit sets that up. So I just want to start with this. How many of you have had bosses or managers that have had a huge impact on you? I mean, huge impact, right? And maybe they've had certain phrases that have stuck with you, like certain things that they just say when you're on the sales floor, or maybe construction work, whatever that looked like, Walmart, wherever you worked, fast food. And sometimes managers have catchphrases they would say. And Ryan at Verizon, I was a regional manager for 4 years at Verizon in the Treasure Valley and in many different states. And Ryan Perez, an amazing general manager, I still believe he's with Verizon last time I checked. He said, guys, be strategic. This isn't whack-a-mole. Be strategic. This isn't whack-a-mole. Do you guys know what whack-a-mole is? If you don't, I'm going to show you. Jason, if you could show this right here. If it's unclear, and then just turn up the volume here. Here we go. This is whack-a-mole. Okay, we can turn that off. I won't drive you guys crazy. Now we all know what whack-a-mole is. You know, I think a lot of times, just in life, we can feel like we're playing whack-a-mole. And this morning, what was on my heart is first things first. You guys know that principle from Stephen Covey, we need to put first things first. But the contrary, the opposite to that is sometimes, whatever your role is, maybe you're a business owner, maybe you're a father or mother of many children, it feels like we just go from one thing to another. We're either, we feel like we're fighting fires, we feel kind of like that rat, you know, in that circle, or we're playing whack-a-mole. It's like, just when I got this done, this comes up, right? And we're just whacking and reacting to things. Anyone ever been there? Well, let me just tell you, I believe Jesus sympathizes with that, understands that condition, but I have good news. I think he has a different way of going about things. He does not have a whack-a-mole life for you, because that's exhausting. Do you guys want to see a different way that Jesus presented? Okay, I'm just going to jump right in. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. These are some of my favorite. Actually, the first time I ever heard the voice of God, this is exactly where I opened up in the Bible when I was 13 years old. My first love, when Jesus became Lord. I was saved, but he wasn't Lord. And this is when he became Lord in my life, when I read these pages. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Can I get an amen? Man. You see, putting first things first means the things that are priorities. Can everyone say priorities? How many know it's important to have your priorities in place? Have your priorities straight, right? You've probably heard this 1,000 times. If you go on YouTube and look up, just type in priorities, you'll hear from billionaires, you'll hear from coaches. And I think we all know this, but a lot of times I think we don't have our priorities straight. I don't have my priorities straight. And I believe that that's what this passage is all about. It's all about priorities. It's all about that. See, the Gentiles, we're not like the Gentiles. Who here is a Gentile? That means you're not saved. You're outside of Jesus, okay? Who here is a Gentile? We are the people of God. And if you are someone who doesn't know Jesus, I would love to pray for you afterwards, because he loves you and he wants to be your savior. Come find me. I want to pray for you. But we aren't Gentiles, right? But how many times do we act like the Gentiles who are running after, what am I going to eat? What am I going to have to wear? I got to get this taken care of. Oh no, that child needs me. Now this child, okay, this business situation is coming up. And we're running like a chicken with our heads cut off, trying to whack this. And as soon as we whack this, another mole comes up, right? But Jesus says, "You're my children who I value so much." He says that earlier in this passage. That's not what I have for you. I don't have a whack-a-mole life. What I have is a father who already knows every need you have. You know, and as our church is growing and many of us are hearing prophecies and feeling it in the spirit, tremendous growth, the Lord doesn't want us to go into more whack-a-mole. He wants us to go into greater dependence of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, allowing all those details to fall into place. You see, I love this passage because it really speaks about our identity. Ryan was speaking how we're all servants, right? We're to seek first the kingdom. Who's the head of that kingdom? The King of Kings. You know that phrase, King of Kings, right? Did you know, I don't believe he's actually talking about the nations of the earth. If you read it in context, you guys are lowercase kings. You're lowercase kings. Say, I'm a king. I'm a king. And so when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, okay, say, I'm approved of. I'm approved through the blood. I'm approved through the blood with the king. When we focus on seeking first, notice, does he say seek or does he say seek first? First, that word first is of supremacy, before all things. That is to be first on our heart. Every day, it's like, Lord, my first role isn't pastor. It's not even father. It's not even husband. My first role each day is I'm a priest before the Lord. And he is the high priest. And if he's the high priest, he's a good high priest because he makes me righteous in his sight. That means I'm in right standing with him. That means I'm connected with him. That means I'm talking with him. Righteousness isn't just something we wear, although it is the breastplate. It's something we walk out relationally. And then I realize if I'm in a right standing with this high priest, he's also a king, and he releases a kingdom. Amen? So then I become a small king of kings, and wherever I go, he's saying, stay connected with me and release the kingdom. Stay connected with me and release the kingdom. Doesn't he make it so simple? Let me tell you, this verse, the Holy Spirit has brought up so many times. And right now, as you know, I got four kids, married 20 years, and a lot of my role has been shifting here, as kind of implied earlier, here at Valley. It just seems like things are going to be changing, like Ryan was saying, and there's just so much going on. And the Lord brings me back, says, Matthew, don't be like the pagans who play whack-a-mole. Seek first the kingdom and my righteousness, and I will cause all these other things to be added unto you. And I feel like there's many here who need to hear this today, because with life, it just seems crazy. It just seems, I don't know how to put it all together. How many feel that sometimes? I can't juggle everything on my plate. Is anyone there right now? You can raise your hand. There's no shame here. There's too much on my plate right now. And I felt like the Father is saying, there's a lot going on, but if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. I want to just share a story just to exemplify this. When I came to Idaho from Portland, my family and I, my first job that I could get was door-to-door sales. Anyone here done door-to-door sales? I bless you guys. I bless you. I bless you. I've told my kids this many times, and I'll tell all of you, if you want to get ready for life, do just a few months of door-to-door sales, because it will either make you or break you. If you've done door-to-door evangelism or evangelism where you're knocking on doors, you get some rejection, you get some nasty things said, but you also get victories. So it was summer of 2014, and I'll never forget this day. It was so fun. That day, I had been knocking on doors. So that day, I was by myself. Sometimes you go out with someone else. That day, I was by myself. I was selling CenturyLink internet back in the day. I had the green shirt, a green polo. Come on. I looked all spiffy. I believe it was in Boise at the time, knocking on doors. And I had done it for like 4 hours. I had sold to one person at this point. But that whole day, I had been in my righteous relationship with Jesus, right? Because I'm connected. I'm approved of by him. I was like, well, I just want to spend the time with you, even if I knock on doors and no one answers. And I was meditating on Sarah, the biblical. I like to meditate on biblical characters. And she births Isaac, the son of promise. And I felt like the Holy Spirit's like, I don't have Ishmaels for you. I have Isaacs. I have blessings in your life. I want to bless you beyond all you can imagine. And I'll never forget, I knocked on this door, and like a 60-year-old woman came out. And by the way, as I was walking up, I saw a verse. I forget what verse it was that she had outside. So I go, okay, I think this woman knows God somehow, has some kind of religious understanding. I didn't know what faith she was a part of, but she's got a Bible verse that I believe in. And she came out and she saw my CenturyLink shirt and she goes, oh, I'm happy. I'm with Cable One. I don't need CenturyLink. And then she said, I'm going to go and get you something. I'll be right back. And I'm like, she doesn't want what I have, but then she's gonna get me something. I'm like, okay. So she walks, heads back inside, and I start talking with the Lord, and I go, Lord, what's going on? And he said, Matthew, you know that passage where it says, if you receive a prophet in a prophet's name, you will receive a reward, right? I felt the Lord saying, get ready, I'm gonna bless this woman. Okay, amen? And so she comes back, and she comes back with this big Gatorade, this giant Gatorade. I had received water that summer. It was like 95 at times. I had never had anyone get me a Gatorade. And I heard in my spirit again, she's blessing you. She's not even like getting anything from you. You're not signing up for business. Get ready. And I remember, it was like the first time I ever prophesied, and I closed my eyes. You're not supposed to close your eyes. I closed my eyes. I just stuck my hand out. I didn't know what I was doing, but man, I was full of the Holy Spirit. And I asked her, I said, is your name Sarah? I didn't have the guts to say it. She goes, yes. I'm like, whoa. I go, You are like a princess of princesses, and God has rippling effects through your life beyond what you could ever imagine. And I said, sometimes you get caught up in a laundry list of things, but the Lord's saying, I love that you serve, but don't forget your times of intimacy with me, because I love them so much, daughter. And I open my eyes, and this woman's just crying. She's just crying, just weeping before me. And I said, is everything okay? She said, it took her a little bit to compose herself. She says, thank you for stewarding your relationship with the Lord. Thank you for talking with him today, because there's no way you could know what you just said if you were not with the Lord today. She said, I've had that word of Sarah and like a princess of princesses and rippling effects on my life, fruitfulness beyond measure. And right now I'm helping that neighbor with a laundry list because she can't do it. And I find myself getting stressed. And you, because of this, I want to spend time with Jesus and sit at his feet. Okay, that's not the end of the story. So I need 2 sales each day for our budget. It's 100% commission. I had no base pay. We're talking 100% commission supporting my wife and 2 kids. Tessa was a stay-at-home mom, and I said, Lord, you can provide. And he was faithful. So again, I only have 1 sale, and I knocked on like 6 or 7 doors, and I'm just relishing. I'm like, God, you're so amazing. And all of a sudden, I see this like 50-year-old guy on a bike coming after me like this. And he wasn't frowning, but he was very intense. And I'm like starting to pick up my pace, and I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, is he neighborhood watch? Is he a cop? I know I shouldn't be soliciting, but God, it's my job. I have to solicit to put food on the table. And he says, you. And he was like a little abrasive, and he catches up with me and he's like, what are you doing out here? And he was like a little kind of like direct and abrasive. I'm like, I'm selling internet and signing people up for that with CenturyLink. He's like, my internet is horrible. Come with me. So I get in his house, I sit down. By this point, he calmed down. I think he really was frustrated in the moment because he was trying to get work done at home and he couldn't get it done. So I come inside. He's like, are you thirsty? I'm like, I just downed a drink, but yeah, I could use another one. He brings out an orange Gatorade, the exact same drink that the lady. I'm like, does everyone in this neighborhood have orange Gatorades? But let me just tell you this. I'll never forget that day. And that may seem like a simple story to you, but it changed my life forever. Yes, it was fun prophesying. But I remember telling, where's Carlos? I told Carlos the story 10 years ago on a Sunday after it happened. And he said, oh, I know what happened that day. You told me this. You said, oh, you sought first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things were added unto you. And I've experienced the reality of that verse throughout my whole life, but that became one of the most memorable things. Guys, every day, you're not first even a father or mother. You're not first a business owner. I'm not first a pastor. I'm a king and I'm a priest. And I'm a king who serves the King of Kings. And I'm a priest who serves the high priest. And if I will just seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, he will make all these things fall into place and be added unto me. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. I feel the Holy Spirit so strong. We don't have a whack-a-mole life. I'll just share one other quick story. David Arredondo, I just saw you. Where are you at? David and Gloria. Can we give a shout out to David and Gloria? They're amazing. I honor you guys. As you guys know, this was mentioned, but Gloria put together an amazing menu for Men's Retreat, and David and I had 3 stores to go to. How many know if you want to get the best deal, you can't just go to Winco, you can't just go to Costco or Chef Store, you got to go to all 3. Gloria was graciously telling us, scratch this off the Chef Store list, go to Costco for it, you'll save money. It was incredible, you were incredible, giving us a real time, like, cross it off here, get it there. And again, we have 3 stores. I'm not stressed, but I'm like, there's a lot. I know the budget going in. And we're in Chef Store, our first store there in Nampa, right across from Winco. And we're about to leave. And I see a brother in the Lord who is going through a hard time right now. And he was just highlighted. I was talking with the Lord in my spirit, and he's like, take time for this guy. So we ended up talking with him. Come to find out, his mother is passing away, and he's about to head on a trip to see her. And I said, could we pray for you? So David and I just prayed for this brother, and I felt the Holy Spirit just touch this guy. And like, he needed Jesus at that moment, right? Anyway, I don't know the full story. I'll be in touch with him soon to see how things go. But we continued on with what we were doing. And as it turns out, we were a couple hundred under budget, and God worked all that stuff out. But you know, it could be an easy for me to focus on that list, to focus on I'm responsible for the church's money and these people who've paid. And I'll tell you, I've done this where I've overlooked people like this. And I wasn't seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. But that day we took time for this guy, and he made all the other shopping fall into place. We were under budget. We got the best deals. It all worked out, right? And why did I share that story? Guys, today he wants you to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. This word will apply to you in the next hour. It's gonna apply to you today, amen? Okay, if you guys would stand here, we're gonna close. I just want you to say, you're King of Kings, and I'm a king. You are the high priest, and I'm a priest. Father, I choose, with all the busyness, with all the responsibilities, with all of the priorities, I'm gonna choose to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And I'll let all these other things be added unto me. Father, we thank you for how you know our needs ahead of time. Father, we don't want to live for just meeting needs for ourselves or meeting needs for others in a frantic way. We say we're not like those who don't know you. We're your kids this morning. So we're going to trust you to be that faithful Father that you are. Great is your faithfulness, as we sang earlier. All that we've needed, your hand has provided. And with all of the growth and all of the changes, maybe personally in our family or our business or here at Valley, and all the exciting things we see you have down the pike, we're not going to play whack-a-mole. We're going to trust you for the Father you are, and we're going to seek first our relationship with you and to share your kingdom at a moment's notice, to release the power of the kingdom at Walmart, with our family, here in the foyer, wherever you have us. And Lord, we know as we do that, you're true to your word and your character. You're gonna make everything fall into place. So thank you, Father, for being faithful. We trust you in advance that you will add all those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have a prayer team. Prayer team, if you would come up. Next week is Social Sunday. You guys are dismissed, but I'll just say, if anything God shared through Ryan, anything God shared through Travis, anything that God shared through me stirred you, or you're going through exactly what they're saying, or anything else, I encourage you to come up. We have a seasoned prayer team up here. We love you guys. We love you. God bless you. Have an amazing day.